cliffcentral.com. Welcome to the Futurology Show. Hello, B2.
Hey, everyone.
I'm getting good at doing that.
You are.
I've had like a year's practice.
Automatic response.
Maybe you can replace me with a robot or just a bot. Brettbot. Hey, there we go.
Brettbot.
You and I need to register Brettbot.
Yeah, the shows might become more interesting the way these bots are going and AI and all that stuff, actually.
Have you actually engaged with a bot? Have you had a conversation with a bot, like on a client services site?
Do you know what? The truth is I may have and I didn't know.
But then that's excellent. Yeah. So I think I have as well, and I think probably a lot of people have. But I had one the other day on purpose. You know what I mean? I actually...
You sought out that bot.
No, well, someone told me they've done a...
Did you stalk a bot?
I did a bot beta. Or a beta bot.
Oh, yeah?
A beta...
I don't know.
A bot beta. Why are you in court today? I beat a bot.
One day that may be a real thing.
Yeah, you can imagine, like with the virtual and augmented and real worlds. But it was actually... incredible how well, because the guy asked me to ask it questions as if you were really dumb, so that wasn't hard for me.
Was it vocal listening or typing?
No, typing. But like ask it in real context, you know, and the response was good. Eventually, what it basically does is it extracts all the information it can from you, and then it says, hold on, you know, and it says, I'm just contacting someone that can help and support, and it pushes the summary across, and then they verify distance to target, one ping only.
Ping. Ping.
Okay.
Thanks for that.
Well, that's just a good way of covering up a phone that's still
on. That wasn't a phone. That was a very well-placed sound effect.
There we go. So, from bots to apps, because that's how we go. I wish I'd actually found this before the 94.7. So, for the international listeners, 94.7 is another radio station here in South Africa, but they have this big cycle race every year in Johannesburg. It literally closes down the streets in the northern suburbs. And mind you, all the way through to town as well. It goes all along the M1.
Yeah.
It's about, what, 94.7 kilometers?
Roughly that, yeah. It's probably
some
more.
Guys take it serious. Yeah, for a lot of people, it's more. Some guys take it serious, some don't. But I just thought, you know, we're going into the festive period now. People are going to spend more time cycling on the roads. There are, unfortunately, going to be more people drinking. So what the Guardian Cycle app is all about is basically you download the app and you preload a couple of like next of kins. I know that sounds morbid. Or just even mates. And then if you do wipe or get hit by a car or whatever, it will send a text with your location.
To your ICE, you're in case of emergency.
Correct. So it basically just alerts someone that you stop moving at that point. And here's the Google address.
You haven't moved since in the last 2 hours.
I was looking at something about heart monitors and that. So I'm assuming it can probably connect with like your iPhone to your Apple Watch and look at your vitals as well.
If that hasn't been stolen. If you weren't mugged and stabbed in the neck.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the reality of this place. Eh?
Yeah.
You know, in a lot of other places, a cyclist will get knocked down and people stop and help. Yeah, yeah. People help themselves.
You had a fall. You were stabbed in the neck, but now you are partying at a local someplace.
They say this is the season of giving. It's the season of taking as well. on that note,
yes.
on the festive season that... We have spoken about it during the year with Dr. Doom. Dum yep. dum dum. You got to make that sound for us.
Dum dum dum. Yes, dum, so dum, you go. I will.
Guys, I say it regularly. I'm saying it again. And you've got to be careful over this time. The guys are going to be scamming. People are going to hopefully get bonuses. I'm about to start laughing. Bonus? Really?
Really?
What's that? 13th check? Don't be silly. But people are going to be spending more money, going to be going into shopping centers, maybe carrying cash. Just be vigilant. That's all I'm saying. You know, there are a lot of desperate people out there. There is a lot of crime out there. Dum, dum, dum. I love it. Okay, we've got to get that into a proper sound clip into our dashboard for next year.
Thank you, Google.
So Candace, if you're listening, next year, when we have you on the show again and you can give us a summation of how bad things were over the period, then we'll go. Love it. And you thought that we were going to be flat this week.
Well, it doesn't stop. It's the doom that keeps on giving.
So, yeah, the Guardian Cycle app leading us through to being vigilant.
Don't drink and ride. People. It's one thing
to
say, watch out for their drink and driving. But
Dinking driving.
You can do dinkum driving, just don't drink and drive. But don't drink and ride either. Like, I can't tell you how many uncles have broken wrists or backs or knees trying to show their little kids how they can pop a wheelie.
No, but it's also on skateboards.
On a mountain bike or...
I
love those parties. They're really good, entertaining parties.
Generally
but
are, except when the ambulance has to arrive.
In the emergency room, yeah.
But, you know, we were talking about warning labels the other day because, the world's becoming quite anal with regards to what you can and can't do and what you have to disclose. I mean, I saw in a bottle of water the other day, sugar is zero, calories from fat or whatever is zero, and I'm like, it's water.
Yeah, we hope.
I would expect it to be zero, you know, but it is what it is. Mm. And then if someone showed me those, it's been going on for years, but it's always good to laugh. Those labels that you get when they've been translated. It's like for an iron that comes from China, don't use while wearing garment. It's like, but the thing is that someone wrote that for a reason.
Yes.
That's a scary thing.
Exactly.
I'm running late. I'm just going to iron my shirt while it's on. You know,
crazy. Did you watch the Daily Show with Trevor Noah the other day? Where
I haven't seen
that,
it regularly. No,
and she was like, "I don't like labels. I'm a millennial." It's like funny how you used a label
to describe what you are. Yeah.
And just thinking about that with millennials not saying, "Well, I don't read labels."
Do you read labels and instructions when
no,
you buy a new product?
I'm a man.
You see, now I do. No. That's the scary thing.
The weird thing is, if I'm selling stuff for the client. Like if there's a piece of tech or like high tech, like I need to obviously know about it. So I do read a manual for something that ultimately won't be mine.
Yeah.
That's part of the job.
Yeah, but I mean like in your
But if I buy
life,
something for myself, no, if I buy something, like this chair that I'm sitting on, I would never have looked at the manual.
No, okay, but I'm, I agree. However, for me, I'm in two schools of thought. You know, I do a lot of the gadget reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And for half the fun is trying to figure it out.
Yes.
But why? What
it
I've
needs
realized,
to be intuitive. And if you've read the thing.
I agree. Here's the kicker though. What I figured out, like you know when you walk into like a coffee shop or something and you meet someone and they go, "Oh, you've got a Skilinky Blonk," you know? And you go, "Yeah, me too.
I have two."
Yeah, and they go, "How cool
the
is that feature?"
Skilinky Blonk Plus.
But they go, "How cool is that feature?" And you go,
"What?
What feature? Yes. You've had this thing for 6 months and you thought it was for shizzo, but you didn't know it could actually do something that was 10 times better than what it does."
Yeah.
So kind of for that reason, I do now start to read manuals.
But
if everybody read the manual,
then you'd never have those conversations ever.
But
your life would be less valuable.
Should we start freaking out again about like regenerating and all that? Like imagine if you never bump into that person and then you never knew. And on your deathbed, someone came to you and said, "Did you ever use the freeze frame feature of the Kazinky Zonky thingamajobby?" And you were like, no. You know, imagine like dying without knowing the full features of your watch or your computer or your...
So here's my thought as the philosopher again. We're going to the
save
age,
one for the end of the year as well.
No,
right?
We're going to the age of experience as I am seeing it or calling it. I haven't heard a lot of other people echoing it yet, but it's the age of experience. So
what was this year? This was the year of innovation.
It's the age of innovation, yeah.
Okay, so now we're in 2017.
Yeah, the age of innovation was actually about 18 months, 24 months. It was a bit longer. It started halfway through last year. So age of experience. And the idea there is that everybody's... You know, technology has assimilated our life. We've accepted it into our day-to-day living.
Yeah.
We know that computers exist. We know that there are four screens. We have wearables, maybe not for very much longer, but we have wearables. But now we're trying to see how experience works. And if we're going to read things like the instruction guides and the manuals, it leaves very little to experience thereafter. From a psychological point of view as well, if you've actually discovered something for yourself, if you've learned something through effort, you're probably more inclined to remember it.
I do agree, and I do that.
Oh, it's because I put the dum-dum
down. I was going to say, that's your computer. I agree, and I do that still. I still try and figure it out, but I have found myself now like, okay, I figured that out, but there's got to be more.
Yeah.
You know, unless it's a Pebble watch, because there just isn't more, but it's like... There needs to be more. You know,
yeah,
I bought this damn thing. It has to do more. And then I do kind of read the manual.
Have you ever gone to Tips on your phone, on your iPhone?
Tips?
Yeah. It comes preloaded with a thing called Tips. It's a little yellow icon with a light bulb on it.
I've never...
And it tells you some amazing stuff.
It's
like 1% amazing stuff.
Is that part of the updates or...
I think it's part of iOS 10, yeah.
Okay.
But we can talk about that in another show.
Hold on a second. I want to share some love for iPhone users out there.
Yes.
So I learned something the other day. I don't know if you know this. I don't know if it's published. On Gail's phone, my wife, you'd phone her, it rings once, and then it cuts off.
Mm-hmm.
On my father-in-law's phone, also an iPhone, you phone it, it rings once, it cuts off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Both iPhones, both on Vodacom.
Yep.
I'm on MTN, it never happens to me. Okay, couldn't figure this out. So I was speaking to someone, I can't remember who I was. You see, one of those things.
Yeah.
And I was having a moan about it. And he goes, it's the do not disturb function. So when you flick up the nav, that little half moon crescent, he said to it, have a look on the screen if you see the little half moon crescent.
And you
the
can
problem
put it,
is
you
it's
can,
so close
But you
to,
can put it on a timer as well. So you can say, turn this on automatically from 7 o'clock at night to 7 o'clock in the morning.
That's fantastic. But it's so close to the other functions. If you're like half asleep or drunk and you go into airplane mode or something like that, it's so easy to turn that on. It stays on until you turn it off. So
you're probably doing everybody else a favor that they're not disturbing you anyway.
True, but it's very frustrating when you're trying to get hold of someone and you keep phoning and it rings. And it, I mean, then like I'll send a WhatsApp or something like, you know, I'm trying to get hold of you onto your freaking phone. It's like, it's not ringing, you know?
So if you had that problem,
now that might be
your
problem.
Not be actively ignoring you. Maybe they just got the do not disturb
one. So I just thought I'd share it. So we're going into the festive period. Okay. Yes.
Carry on. Yes. No. I pointed at you, but I know where you're going, so keep going.
I'm talking about Netflix.
I just thought while we were on the iPhone tangent, we can let the bad news slip that the well is dry on the iPhone 7.
Yeah. So have you been able to Google anything? Is this global? Apparently, one of my friends or colleagues' daughters went into the iStore to get the 7, and they were told out of stock, every color, every version, 32 gig, 64 gig, would she like to go into the waiting list? Now, If its demand is just totally stripping supply, that's great.
Mm.
If there's a problem with supply globally, then I'm sorry to say, but Tim Cook and his boys are absolute palooka pricks because Samsung handed them a present.
Yeah.
They actually said, here, Apple, we're going to detonate one of our... we are going to blow up our Christmas sales and Q4 sales. Please go and steal all of our customers.
Yeah.
And if they can't deliver... then someone needs to be fired.
If you literally just do a Google search of iPhone 7 supply shortage, it starts on September 30th where it says they're experiencing shortage. It gets worse as you go through the things. November 19th, there's been a... Now, granted, this is on a website called Fool.com saying that the iPhone 7 Plus supply is finally improving, albeit slowly. So, yeah, it does sound like there's a...
So you're saying that... Because they came
there's a big enough. There's a big enough... effort of it around the world or lack of effort around the world.
In their defense, and unfortunately that's the problem of being a fanboy, we always try to find the glass half full. If you noticed how early the phone was available globally as opposed to previous versions, like I remember with the 6, when the 6 came out, South Africa got it literally a week before Christmas. Mm. It was like December.
You kind of get the feeling that they made the 5, the 5S, the 6 and the 6S all at the same time and they were like, okay.
Yeah. Just, oh, which one's now? Okay, well, and that's where the SE comes from. It's like, oh, shit, someone left these oaks at night by themselves, and this was the byproduct.
Have you heard the conspiracy theory? Seeing as we were talking about some stuff last week that gets the brain thinking, there's this conspiracy theory that, let's say, the aliens did actually build the pyramids. And
they did.
Yeah. Your aunt.
What are you talking about?
You can have that discussion again. So let's say that actually did happen. There's this idea that they did, and that they gave us all the world's technology then.
Yes.
And that's... let's call it the Illuminati. Let's thump these together. The Illuminati have been handling the sort of supply of technology. They're eking it out over centuries.
Well, they did. They brought Father Christmas on board so that every year he had something cool to give for the next 2,000 years.
Is that his role? He's part of the Illuminati.
He's the deliverer. You see? How else could he get around the world so quickly? I mean, think about it. Anywho.
Yeah.
Look,
that was a complete segue.
I'm not even going to that now because I know I've upset a lot of people. And the same as we didn't land on the moon either. I mean,
no,
they had virtual reality back then as well.
It's a conspiracy theory for a reason.
But what I was going to say before that little sojourn, Netflix have finally done what everyone's been asking forever in 17,000 days. They've made certain pieces of their content available for download. Only on iOS or only on mobile. So you can't do it on your computer and you can't do it on the TVs and smart TVs.
That makes sense though.
But it does make sense because if you're traveling...
intermittent connectivity or...
Well, think about it. Take your little one. Okay, so if you go out for supper, you knowing you as well as I do, you don't take coloring books and that. You take an iPad. You take a tablet or something or a DVD player.
I really try not to, but yeah.
But you do.
Yeah.
Because it's easier.
She likes to play and climb on things, yeah.
But when she's had enough of them, she's seen the table and you
want
to
eat. For sure.
I do it. And if you look around any restaurant anywhere in the world, everyone
phone,
does it.
Yeah.
The problem is if you're not connected, you're stuffed.
Yes.
So now they've actually gone, yep, we'll finally listen. Because, I mean, people have been asking for this for years. So kudos to them. And it really is good timing because, especially in South Africa, hashtag data must fall. Okay.
Mm.
People download at work. People update at work because, the work servers allow for it. I mean, we do it, you do it. No one goes home and says, oh, let me do a 2 gig download.
Yeah.
They wait for the next morning and abuse the office downloads. But the point is that you can now actually sit there, you can find some cool content, download onto your device. It's just one less irritation when you're driving on your holiday or when you, you know. So I thought,
but that's cool because you can get end-to-end really good quality content.
Yeah, but you can plan it as well. You can actually look for it because actually, and that was the other thing is how do you know which content they've addressed it? There's actually downloadable tabs. So you can go to stuff that is available for download, search through it, plan it, and download it. I suppose this is where Android actually wins the fight against Apple is that the memory issues. So, you know, you're downloading onto the device. If your device is already clogged, you can whack a SD card into your Android phone.
128.
Yeah, but not everyone's carrying a 128. I mean, there's still 16 gig phones out there. Why? I don't know.
Yeah. That breaks my brain.
Yeah. But anyway. So
Android have got the ability to expand their memory.
Yes.
But at the same time, they are actively working at making sure that their apps are smaller, more optimized, and that their updates aren't as incrementally huge as they could be.
Have you noticed that? I have noticed that.
Well,
that
they've been in the news as well, but they've also been sort of making sure that they're very meaningful updates that actually, I couldn't believe that the latest updates on my tablet were done in the time that they were done. You know, you sit there and you're like, 13 updates, really? Have I been that slack? And you go, doop, and
but you know, where Apple's also its own worst enemy, which works for the consumer side, is that they, you know, if there's a small little thing they want you to change, so they go and they do these huge certificates, and you can't just do an update or a bug fix. You have to redo the app and get it re-signed and resubmitted, and you know, anyway. But staying with Apple, I don't know if it will change my views on it, but apparently they're going to use a drone fleet to gather their map data, you know, for Apple Maps. So they've actually got a group of robotics and data collection experts that are going to use unmanned aerial vehicles, so UAVs, drones as we call them, that will then obtain the data for maps. You know, for when I say maps, I'm talking about Apple Maps, because Google and Apple, you know, they both call it maps. But I still don't know if I trust it. I must say, that's the one thing I don't use on an iPhone is Apple Maps.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because South Africa doesn't have the data, but it has to be the crappest map system out. I'm sorry.
It was one of the first things Tim Cook had to do as his new CEO thing was to actually apologize for maps, but also to explain that it's a crowdsourced thing and the more people that use it. So it was a bit of a vicious circle. It was a bit of a vicious circle.
You use Waze. I use Waze. It's crowdsourced.
Google uses Waze now.
But I'm saying,
yes,
it's crowdsourced, so it doesn't wash with me.
So, talking about drones briefly, Disney are creating a new show drone experience at Disney Springs for the holidays. Yes. So they're setting the sky aglow with this holiday season twice a night on the west side of Disney Springs, wherever that may be.
Disney Springs?
Yeah, it's new. I didn't know. So if you are going to Disney, and it's
which one is this? Orlando?
By Disney World, Orlando.
Okay, that's Orlando, yeah.
So the first aerial ballet of 300 Intel Shooting Star show drones choreographed to a specially orchestrated medley of classic holiday music with a Disney touch invites guests to wish upon a holiday star.
Okay, so sounds amazing. Spoiler
until
alert.
Somebody dies. I mean, they can't even control the alligators.
No, they can. Yeah, listen to this one. No, it's not nice.
Come on.
Okay, so spoiler alert. Anyone who's watching America's Got Talent, please tune off for the next 15 seconds.
Yeah.
Come back, please. Yeah, please come back. Okay, so from now, in the latest America's Got Talent, I don't know if it's finished in South Africa, they had this guy doing drone ballet, and he controls it. It's two guys that control also like 20 or 30 drones. It was fantastic. So if they can get that right, maybe Disney's actually employed these guys and brought them on board to do the choreography. But
the machines
actually run the drones. It's not really people. They just do the sequencing and all that kind of stuff. But I love that.
It's like populating particles, and then each drone is like a particle. There's a video of it, so I'll tweet this video because I think it's quite wild.
If you can just share that out, that is awesome. I'd love to see that. Yeah. Thank you. Staying with drones.
Yeah.
Okay, I came across a thing called the Air Selfie. So it's like, for all those people that hate selfie sticks but love selfies, this is it.
Yeah.
It's a little mini drone. So if you picture it, it stores on your phone, right? So if you picture like a phone case cover.
Yeah.
So it's flat and it goes like a big battery pack cover.
Yeah.
This little thing slides into it. So it charges itself up off here as well. It's a quadcopter. So when it comes out, it's like, if you picture, I was going to say a cassette, but a lot of people don't know what that is anymore. Just picture a phone cover, that shape.
Yeah.
And it's got the four...
I'll do you all a favor. I'll tweet it quickly.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What are those things? What do you call them? Not propellers. What do you call a drone?
Rotor.
Rotor. Thank you.
Rotor blade.
They're
yeah.
inside it, and it's got a little selfie camera. So you like let it go, and then you take the selfie of yourself from your phone without having to stick your hand out and showing everyone your unshaven armpit and all those wonderful things. And I think it's coming out of Kickstarter or Indiegogo, one of these things now. But it's like only $230. So it's like
that's mad.
It's $2,500-$3,000, but for a toy, I mean, guys have been buying these funny Spiro balls that are the same price. This little thing flies.
I like those things. What's your take on
that? Spiro and that?
Yeah, should I get one of them?
I also do. You know what the problem with it is?
I like crashing drones. They make a much better noise.
You'll play with it. Yeah. When the blades go. You'll play with it for a bit and then you won't play with it. That's the problem with it.
Yeah.
That is the only, because I can't see any other purpose of Spiro and
it. And the battery runs out and you're like, oh, well.
Yeah, and you forget to charge it when you actually want to play it. That's how I don't roll. This is a concern because I'm a wearable fan. Okay, wearable as in watches and bangles.
Yeah,
and
I think you'd be a bit of a heavy jacket for me if I had to wear you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it depends. You could skin me alive.
Gross, man.
I watched Hannibal, the finally finished season. Brilliant. Anywho.
So, back to wearables.
So, they reckon it's been a rough couple of weeks for wearables. Yesterday, Lenovo, which is really a big player, you know, they own Motorola. They've announced that they will not be building any more Moto Android Wear. So, mm-hmm. they did make one, and they're not doing any more. And they basically just said that wearables do not have a broad enough appeal for them, Lenovo, to continue to build. And and this is their, you know, to continue to build year after year. And that's it. They're going to pull it. Pebble, okay, which I have to give them credit. And we always have a go, Greg, our station manager here, because he loves his Pebble. And he's always quick to show me how quick it is and its battery lasts forever and all these things. But they pretty much pioneered the smartwatch. You know, there's always been watches with a little bit of information, but the way it integrates with the device and that, and the e-ink. The rumors they're being bought by Fitbit, but the price that Fitbit's putting on the table, which is between $35 and $40 million, it won't even cover their debt. Okay, now besides whether it covers their debt or not, think about startups. Just randomly think about startups that in the last 2 years that don't do anything. Okay, Oculus Rift, case in point, still to release, and they sell for billions. Instagram, $13 billion. Here's a watch with three or four versions, a whole iStore, a whole ecosystem, millions of users around the world, and they're talking $34 million. So, and then the last thing that kind of puts the nail in the coffin as such, this was, who's those guys that do all the shares and all that kind of stuff? What are they called? I want to say with a B, Bloomberg.
Oh, yeah.
This was Bloomberg article.
That small
reading.
Little.
Yeah, but that's saying. So there is credibility there.
Yeah.
They were saying that, and then the last thing they referred to in their support was Angel, which was actually an open source wearable device. So it was kind of like, here's the device, here's the SDK, go and play. You know, they've gone. They've got a website page, we're no longer here kind of thing.
Yeah.
So Bloomberg's basically saying that our love with wearables is gone, or our love from the hardware side to build these things is gone.
Yeah.
Apparently, Apple's watches, their Apple Watch sales are declining. We're going into a festive season where they should be increasing. So, if I'm going to call it for 2017...
Do you think the Christmas festive season is going to be the thing that slows down, or do you think we just...
I'm going to call it that it's a slowdown. I'm going to say that we're facing a slowdown. The other thing that's compounded this is there's been a lot of stories and a lot of articles published about how these apps and these... time to stand, time to breathe, all the things I must be honest that I love, Brett, are actually making it worse for us because you're putting stress on your body to make sure you stand. You're putting stress on your body to make sure that you train.
Yeah.
So you're actually releasing cortisol, which is actually leading to fat. So it's quite interesting how these things that were supposed to manage us, make us feel cool and happy and warm fuzzies, might actually be doing the opposite, and manufacturers aren't really interested in playing in that space. I don't know.
So,
I'll call it that we're going to see a decline in wearables, the same as we saw the decline in netbooks when the tablet came out. And look what's happening to tablets.
I do quite like it when things go a bit pear-shaped. I firmly believe that there's more opportunity amidst chaos. And I think if wearables take a bit of a hit, it's only going to sort of spur on the next level of innovation for something new.
Yeah.
there's whether you want to wear a watch is becoming more of a preference than a gimmick or a fad. So just because their sales aren't going down doesn't mean that, say, you're going to maybe get the next upgrade.
I'm not the target. And if you look at the kids of today, this is where wearables were actually showing a glimmer of hope for the watch industry, because no kid wears a watch. They eye down on their screens all day long.
Yeah.
There's a clock on the screen. So when you look at the likes of Tag Heuer doing deals to make smart technology, when you look at Swatch, these guys are basically saying, sure, wearables are here to save us. Now I'm busy saying that Bloomberg's telling us wearables are not here forever.
Yeah.
And the biggest challenge to wearables is actually the battery life. That is its own enemy. So if someone can figure that out with self-chargers or, I don't know, Tesla. Elon, are you listening?
Yeah. There's different types of wearables. I mean, you've got your actual gadget wearable, which is a battery-powered watch that is on your wrist.
Yeah.
But then there's the jackets, the nanotechnology and the sort of near-field technology into clothing. So you've got your volume control and your jacket arm, and you've got those kind of things. And you've got your lapel that you can squeeze, and you can actually take a call. So there's those kind of things, which I think maybe, hopefully, that'll start to make a bit more of a scene.
You're actually 100% right. I think you've just caught a prediction. Because they've grouped it as the terminology wearable, but you're right. Yeah.
So this they're looking at machine tech.
Yeah, and those clothes that take your body temperature to remind you to hydrate, that's functional.
Yeah.
And it's low power. Those are running on like IoT type devices.
But it's
devices.
Functional, it also becomes fashionable. So now you can take tech and you can actually put it into a multiple different types of
But wearables are fashionable
style.
As well.
Well, it's
and fashions
it's,
go.
It's
the problem.
Style of fashion. You know what I mean? Like I'm wearing an analog Guess watch, silver.
Okay, which watch?
Because I like it.
But which watch?
Yeah. I'm not going to do this with you. It's not
first.
A smartwatch. Yeah.
Which is strange for you because you're a digital dude as well. And I've always looked at yours and wondered how come you don't have a wearable.
Because when they first came out, the thing that annoyed me the most was people looking at their watches. Granted, it might not be that they're looking for the time.
Sure.
But it was very annoying. There's sort of
but
like
you
this
don't have
deep-seated...
any form. You don't have a fitness tracker. You don't have anything like that.
Another problem is that I'm slightly allergic to that plastic they keep bloody using.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The silicone grades.
Yeah, that's funny. Plastic.
That's interesting because they use that because of allergies. You're a funny puppy. You really are. And I mean that with all the love in the world.
I'm unique.
But you are. You are special, huh?
Thanks.
Would you like an ice cream?
I'm allergic. I'm sorry. No.
So, it's going to be interesting to see what plays in 17, but the battle's batteries.
Yes. So, we were talking about bricks and mortar a little bit last week. I think every week it creeps up somewhere. But wearables, sensors, phone technology. Now Amazon have created a short store called the Amazon Go Store.
Correct.
Where you can literally, was that one of the things you were going to talk about
it
anyway?
It was, but you carry on because you're 100% right.
But
I love
it.
It's
going to become the grocery store of the future. They are predicting. There are no cashiers. There's no registration. There's no registers or there's no lines. The nice thing is you walk in, you pick up the products you want, you put them into the till, and you've got to scan. So first of all, you have to scan into the store. You use your Amazon app on your phone, gives you a QR code, you scan in your turnstile as you walk into the shop. But you pick up whatever you want. If you don't want it, you put it back. It comes off your cart on your phone automatically.
Yep. I'm actually going to share the video while you're talking.
It's fantastic. And then when you leave the store with all of the products that you had, so once you've crossed that sort of sensor line.
I think it's called Amazon Go.
Yeah, Amazon Go.
That's
grocery
right.
Store. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And Tech Insider, I have a really nice little article about it.
I think that's the one that I've got.
And so you pay with it using your Amazon account. But there's no tills. Everything's fresh. So it's all about loading stuff, but it's built for convenience. It literally is walk in, grab what you want, walk out.
Okay, so there's two problems.
South Africa will crib that system.
Okay. One, we've had that for years. It's called shoplifting. Okay, you walk in, grab what you want, and walk out. I mean, it's fine.
It's even more efficient because you don't actually have to pay for anything.
So when I saw the video, I showed Gail. Now, Gail, she's married to a geek. Okay.
Yes.
I mean, I'm...
Who?
Gail. Geek. I'm tech mad. I have more gadgets than I know what to do with. I mean, they're like my children. But she said to me she would never shop in a shop like that. And I was like, why? She says, because for her, to have a phone with her is not paramount. She doesn't have to. So now you can't get in there without when you don't have your phone. So I thought about this for a second. But then it also dawned on me, and going back to what you've just said about wearables and clothes and that, I don't think we'll need the phone. Version 2, let's call it. So you'll have version 2, but I don't think you'll actually need the phone, because what's going to happen is eventually you will have some form of device, whether it's inputted or where you'll just walk. You might have a key ring. Like your car's key will have an NFC chip in it, which you registered with your Amazon account. So now you got your keys in your pocket.
Well, maybe they'll just do biometrics everywhere, and then Candace can tell us.
You still got touch. That's the problem.
What do you mean?
I'm talking about seamless.
Oh, like seamless. Yeah.
I'm talking about you'd actually walk because you've got your car keys in your pocket.
So they've got cameras in here in the Amazon Go store as well. They can pick up. They're doing all demographic tracking. So
your face as well.
Who you are, what age you are roughly.
Scary shit.
They can pick up your skin tone. So it's not a black and white image. It's not just strictly facial tracking.
Sure.
And then go from there as well. So, yeah.
Look, I love the concept. It makes sense. Have you ever used a self-checkout, like at Walmart or one of these? Okay, so again, that wouldn't work here. But there, when you use, so for those people that haven't used.
Trust bar.
I know, the honesty closet. Yeah. So for those people that have never seen a self-checkout, so Walmart pretty much pioneered it. Basically, you go to the till, the same kind of till point that a person would be sitting at. It's a touchscreen and it's got like the silver weigh station. So you put your bag down on it. And then you pick up an item and you scan it and then you put it onto a bag that's on the other way station. So it's kind of got one going in, scan, one going out.
Yeah. The weight differential is what it looks for.
Correct.
And you look like a proper Muppet if you don't get it right.
I know. I've actually had the alarm go off because I was hanging them. So in a Walmart, there's also, they don't charge you for plastic bags.
Yes.
But they're on these like round things. So I wasn't putting it on the second way station. I was just dumping it straight into the bag. And it's like, please place on counter. And I'm like, it's on the freaking counter.
Did you have to restart your entire?
Yeah, I did. Okay. So that was one of the fails. But the point is that you do the whole scanning thing and then you choose how are you going to pay.
Yeah.
Cash, card, whatever. And you pay and you walk out the freaking door.
Yeah.
What I did notice is there were random stops. I got stopped once. They do a random stop and they ask you for your slip. And they just check the goods and they wish you a good day and off you go. So trust is in the eye of the beholder. Or beer holder.
Yeah.
But I still think it's fantastic. The problem, we address this all the time, you are going to put people out of work.
Yeah.
Okay. But you got to find other ways to repurpose these people because it's coming anyway. There's nothing we can do about it.
The thing is, innovation kind of dictates or demands that we all improve. It's not just that we like leave stupid people behind. It's just your tasks need to become less mundane and more meaningful. So if there's a computer or something that can replace you, which is ultimately what will continue to happen as continuous improvement is part of innovation and as future, it's what we look for. But we don't really need someone to pack our bags, do we? Really?
No, but
that now you've got human capital in a bag packer that could potentially, in the greater good of everything, potentially be solving cancer. You know what I mean? Like, we should all be looking as humans,
test subjects. But you don't know. But if they're packing bags, with respect, they were never going to be oncologists.
Part of the fees must fall argument is give us an opportunity and we'll show you.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
And it's the idea of give people an opportunity, give them access to something. We don't need bag packers. We don't need trolley stackers.
No, I agree.
So automated process.
The unions are going to come find you.
Yeah, but
gonna shoot you
the unions will have better
jobs.
People to represent. The unions will just... They'll always be there.
100%. Well, I'm going to stay
with
Amazon.
We won't lose mine workers.
No. True. I'm going to stay with Amazon. I'm actually going to read it because it's like it's the press release. So an Amazon employee tried to commit suicide.
What?
Okay. It says the unidentified worker who had been placed on an employee improvement plan. So apparently that plan didn't work.
At least they identified that bit.
Jumped off the 12-story building in downtown area on Monday morning. That's now. And survived the fall.
No, man.
Before taking the plunge, the worker sent out a mass email to Amazon employees, including the CEO, old Jeff Bezos, saying how he was displeased with the company's recent handling of his transfer request, according to the news site citing an anonymous source. In the email, the man also hinted that he might hurt himself. No shit.
12 stories.
Yeah. Our thoughts are with our colleague as he continues to recover, Amazon's press statement was. Now, the reason why I mention this, though, is Amazon's got a really bad or infamous reputation for having a brutal workforce culture. They've been critiqued a few times. The New York Times has had a go at them. Bloomberg's had a go at them. They basically said that they have to work really long hours. Now, I mean, everyone works long hours, but apparently these folks are like literally chained to the desk. Okay, and they just kind of hit the wall under pressure. They just crack, you know. So
well, they jump out
going
of
back to what we're saying now, where people are wasted packing bags,
yeah,
skill them and take some of the pressure off people. Even I guarantee if you do a survey, let's say the Oak earns 10 grand a month, whatever their currency is, makes a difference. If you said to him, we'll give you an assistant for 2 grand a month reduction in your salary. So you're earning 8 grand a month, but we're going to take 2 grand of that and we're going to bring someone on board that could do some of the medial stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm quite happy to guess that 70% of the people ask would say yes.
The problem with humans, from what I've gleaned through reading, is that...
Because you're not a human, hey?
No, I'm a human.
Oh, okay. And I thought you were part of the pyramid peeps.
A crowd of humans is a lot stupider than the individuals that make up that crowd.
True.
But we're ambitious. We are wholly ambitious.
I agree. But those people will always succeed anyway. Yeah.
By nature, we're supposed to be a flock or a herd sort of society. We're supposed to live in community.
Yeah.
But we're also greedy. So for all of our good bits, you've got to also take along the bad bits. I think a lot of people build really great opportunistic strategies and get-rich-quick schemes. And, you know, the next best app idea always comes from people thinking about all the good things about people.
Yeah.
Nobody ever drags in the bad things. And this is why we don't progress as fast as we do.
I think that's very valid. I do. And I also believe, though, that those that aspire and those that are... like overdriven, will still be overdriven.
Yes.
They'll decline it. They're the 30% that wouldn't. But I'm going, I hate to say bank employee because that industry's changed. But I'm saying take your big corporate.
Just stay with a backpacker. Yeah.
Yeah, your big corporate.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. There are so many people in there that are happy to rock up at 8, leave at 5, stamp their card, bring their packet lunch from home, and have absolutely zero aspirations to climb the corporate ladder.
Yeah.
They'll do their 25 years, they'll get their pension, they'll go home, they'll die. It's just, there are people like that. No, it's morbid, but it's true. If you went to those people and said to them, we could make your life a little bit easier, it's going to cost you 10% or 20% of your salary, I guarantee you most of them would accept that.
Yeah.
Because they're going to work because they have to, not because they want to. They don't have the aspirations of success or the drive.
I want to be a human being, not a human doing. Or a human doing, not a human being.
Human doing, not a human being. Staying with humans, not Pizza Hut, you know, the franchise. They are piloting, I think it's in Japan, okay, robots. But all these robots will do will greet you and show you to the table. So they don't take your order. They don't deliver food. Now, that goes back to your theory, like, why do we need bag packers, okay? But now you don't, because now they're saying, here's a simplistic service. So now you keep your staff focusing on customer service.
Yeah.
Making the experience really good, but not worrying about the mundane of going into the kitchen or checking on a table or bringing people to a table. But I think it's pretty cool that, you know, like a Pizza Hut's never struck me as a brand that's like, wow, I'm innovative and, you know, it's freaking pan pizza.
But they were one of the first to do, we had a concept called digital dining a couple of years back.
And that app where you could choose and make you're right with the table.
Exactly.
I remember that.
Yeah. And
that's right, it was them, hey?
Pizza Hut were one of the first guys to actually put that proof of concept in place.
I take that back.
And they were 100% really
right. We looked at it a good few years ago. You're right. Okay, sorry, Pizza Hut. Well done for keeping on the innovation.
Yeah.
But
it's amazing how it changes, though, hey? Yeah.
You know, it's like...
Robotics gets expensive.
It does to start, but like all technology,
it
plummets in price.
So, with all these
Amazon employee,
with all these mundane jobs and all these high powered jobs, it doesn't matter who you are. You're all trying to earn enough money so that you can buy some products at the end of the year. And I think one of the things, as it is the 7th of December, and we're just around the corner from Christmas, and everybody's going to spend money they don't actually have.
Yes, happily,
you have the 40bestproducts.com. There's a site called bestproducts.com, and some of the cool things on there. Do you have something that you really want for Christmas?
I've got tons of things I really want.
So what is the one thing that if you got nothing else, and it can't be a whiskey?
No.
Although whiskey would be great.
I tell you what, I actually would like a really, really cool drone. Like the Phantom. You know, a serious drone. Not one that if I hit the wall, it shatters into a gazillion pieces.
I think the drone, the Phantom, would probably also do that.
Oh, okay, then I don't want that. But that, you know where I'm actually going? It's like that Lily.
Yes.
You know, that thing that you throw.
Or your selfie.
Or like this little air selfie thingy.
Yeah.
I'd like something in the aerial space.
I'm always
to play
for a drone. Birthdays.
Yeah, that's where I think I'd be.
Christmas, you know, Father's Day, just any Tuesday. would be a great day for a drone because you're going to need it that frequently. That's how badly I fly. But there's a lot of stuff around content creation coming into place,
yes,
which is really exciting to see. So now the technology we have access to today is going to start shaping what we're able to consume or produce in the future. And because we're able to do those types of things, we'll start seeing innovation through that too. So your Phantom 4 is very much on the big hit list of things to have. Your wearable watches, there's a lot of that going around. Tablets, obviously everybody wants tablets. The Google Assistant, Google Home, is on the list. It is number three of 42
that's
on
fantastic. That's like my little Tribby device that I've been playing with.
Yeah.
And I love, you see, I've got one.
Yeah.
So that's why you asked the question. But yeah, Google Home.
So I'm quite fortunate enough to have number two on the list, which is the Bose QuietComfort 35s.
Ooh.
And they are, I've got the 30s. I don't have
that's the headset.
Yes,
eh?
I don't have the wireless ones. But they are phenomenal. Expensive, but phenomenal. There's a reason.
Oh, like, but you didn't say about price. You just said, what do you want?
No, no. So these are $349 US, but...
Wow, that's 5K.
Yeah, it works out to about 7,200 Rand for here, for a Bose headphones.
Wow.
But they're very good. And there's you can hear the difference, or you cannot hear the difference in the fact that they're noise cancelling. But there are things like HP coming out with the, what do they call it? The Sprocket Portable Photo Printer. So, again, this digital, virtual, augmented, mixed reality world that we live in, there's still this need, apparently, for tech to deliver the tangible. Did that sound good?
I thought that actually did sound good.
That was a pretty good quote. We should make a poster on that. But, yeah, so people are still after tangible. We still like the things.
I agree.
And I actually walked – we put up frames, and I'm saying frames on purpose, in our house to see where everything would go, and we'd fill them later. Sure. We've got so much digital stuff.
Empty frame.
I filled one with one of my daughter's paintings pictures the other day, but –
You've already got that on your phone as a wallpaper anyway.
You've got to try this hybrid living almost, where you're like part digital, part tech, part real world. So do that example where you don't need to take your phone. Good on you, Gail. Leave your phone at home. That's amazing. Like live
Not
that
a chance.
Real world. That's called nomophobia. It's a fear of leaving your phone behind.
It wouldn't happen. I'll leave all kinds of things at home before I leave my phone at home. In fact, I've left my wallet, but I don't worry because I can use Zapper or I can get cash from machine with just, you know, you send a text to your phone with a pin. So, the phone needs to be bolted on. And that's why I'm not against them actually implanting either. Then I'll never leave without it. I'll never have to upgrade.
Just don't put a Samsung battery in.
Oh, shit, yeah.
For people with budget conscious, the Steel Series. There's a new type of phone headphones coming out called the Steel Series Arctis gaming headset. Only $80. Look phenomenal.
Looks one thing. For me,
you've got to set,
I'd rather spend the money. I mean, we've all bought shitty headsets or earbuds or whatever. And, you know, everyone said, oh, how do you spend $7,000 on a headset? Listen to it.
Yeah.
That's how.
So this is the third pair of Bose QuietComforts I've had in like 12 years.
And you're sold.
Yeah, yeah. No, but I'm that kind of guy that once I like that, I'm a brand loyalist.
I must be honest. I mean, that's why I'm still on an iPhone. I mean, you've heard me raving about that Moto Z. It is fantastic.
Yeah.
But it still can't be my primary phone at this moment in time. I'm still, you know.
Other things about content. Sorry, I'm going to wrap this up shortly.
No.
Content. There is the 360 Fly, the 4K action camera that actually does a full 360, which can be then stitched into a virtual reality environment.
What do you mean? Like it flies like a drone?
No, it's a little sphere.
Oh, yes.
With
yes,
a big dome on it, but it's an action camera, so it's a little bit more robust.
Yeah.
But it does, in one space, it does a 4K, 360 degree, fully stitched image of where you are, and it does video. So
that's quite cool.
On top of all of the things that you're going to get, the little gizmos, the new laptops, you might get the new Microsoft Surface, you might get the new MacBook,
the new watch
will be on your wrist.
Okay.
But all the other things you're going to buy,
okay,
need to be put somewhere.
Yes.
So there are some really nice bags coming out, and not just wearables, but I mean.
Does that place for your lipstick as well, Brett?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, no, the Thule bags are always a fantastic one. Quicksilver released a bag a while back that actually had connection with an iPod where you had your play volume.
I saw
that
on the strap, yeah.
So there's those kind of cool tech stuff, but there's a Book Slim Pack. So go to bestproducts.com, take a look at some of the stuff that maybe we don't have right now. But if you are an Amazon buyer or if you are traveling this Christmas holidays, things to look out for at your duty-free shops. And it really is important. I used to sell shoes on Oxford Street, one of my like little slashy type titles. And my sales pitch at the time was, two things you can't spare money on, and it's your bed and your shoes, because if you're not in one, you're in the other.
Yeah.
That sort of mentality has come with me into tech. If you're going to spend 7,200 rand on a pair of headphones, don't scrimp on a 2 rand bag to keep it in, because 100%. That 2 rand bag, the stitching comes undone and all of a sudden everything falls out.
Yeah.
So keep it safe, keep it secure and everything you need on it. So give it some thought. There's some really nice stuff coming out, and that's the sort of commercial punt of the Futurology show for the time being. Everybody, the future of spending will be quite interesting.
I'm gonna then throw another prediction out.
Yes.
You know, we're looking at these websites. Now,
yes.
The thing that really busts my balls is that I can see, let's just take something simple like an Apple TV. Okay, let's use that as an example.
Yeah.
So you get two permutations, 32 gig, 64 gig. In the States, it's $150 and $199, $200. Okay, yeah. $50 more for the double memory. Let's go to the big boy, because you and I do it, we do it properly. $200 at the current exchange rate is 2,800 rand.
Yeah.
Okay. How do you justify selling me one for 2,999 for 32 gigs in this country? Okay, so I'm going to buy online. My problem is I can't get it here.
Yeah.
If I deliver it, it gets stolen in Witpoort. Okay,
yeah.
For the international listeners, that's our like clearing house. And if I do it by courier, I might as well buy it locally. My prediction 2017
yep.
is we are going to jack up ourselves locally. I'm talking about the local importers. They're going to put pressure back on the brands that they represent and say, listen, we can't compete because you guys are selling it there. We're selling it here. We're paying duties to bring it in. We're paying to ship it in, but people are still going overseas. Help us help you. And I reckon not only will see data prices fall, but we're going to see online shopping prices in South Africa fall. May I don't mind paying 10% or even 15%, because I'm going to get it in 2 days, not in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But when you start trying to charge me 30%, I kind of feel like you're raping me, you know, and it's not a pleasant feeling.
No. No, you don't want to feel like you've been raped.
No. That's okay. So basically, that's my prediction for next year, is we're going to see these guys, and the guys like your takealot.coms,
yep.
and Amazon, I think, owns takealot.com or has a vested interest. They're going to ramp up, and we're going to start to see a nice level playing field next year.
So, you're not the only one to have seen this, and I don't think we're the only country to be suffering from this kind of stuff. There are opportunistic entrepreneurs that are disrupting the courier space all over the place. Things like Yakit.com.
I have seen that, yeah.
So, international customers, you get it shipped, you don't need to be in the country. Shipwire, I've got some things. There's also this platform that allows you to buy...
And keep it
sort of a cube,
yeah.
a meter cube.
We've actually had guys reach out to us to come
yes.
and chat on the show.
So yeah, so let's get them signed up for next
yeah,
year.
Yeah. They let you collect your stuff and
yeah.
you pay
and then
one
ship the whole
fee.
Cube.
Now
to you.
That's good. It's clever thinking. It's
until SARS
it's
and customs
playing
and everything
to
catch
no, no, no. But no, you declare it. They
yeah.
do it there on the form. I've actually done it.
Yeah.
Here's the problem.
Yeah.
It goes back to the fact that I actually want my stuff now. You know, as
yeah.
humans...
Instant gratification.
Correct. So I don't want to buy an Apple TV and then leave it in case I want to get a watch as well as a pair of Bose, blah, blah, blah. And then 3 months later, it's going to... I don't want that. Because
yeah.
you know what's going to happen? 3 months is the new version. And mine's sitting and collecting dust. The warranty is expired. So it still doesn't solve the problem. It helps for
yeah.
the patient. But you and I look a squirrel. We're not patient.
Yeah.
We're getting the top of the hour, and you know what? It would be an absolute sin if we don't talk about VR, AR, and I even have to be nice to Microsoft once. It happens. Okay, it's the festive season. Yeah, them. So Microsoft. Yeah, you could have actually let that play. It was good timing.
Just gotta do it again.
So Microsoft have come up with a thing called holoportation.
Yes.
Okay, as in hologram. Okay.
Yeah. That's amazeballs.
Now, I'm calling this for 2017.
Yes.
Last week, you talked about that whole Facebook where you can sit with family
yes.
in that virtue, and I was like, well, why don't you just go there?
Yeah.
The difference between this and what you spoke about,
where it's the avatar,
okay,
yeah.
is that this will actually, it uses their HoloLens technology, obviously, there had to be a play, and probably the Kinect camera, because that's all part of their ecosystem. But it actually maps you in your real sense. So if we're having a boardroom meeting, you need to sit behind a table in a chair
mm-hmm.
and it'll map you and put you in real space at my boardroom
yeah,
table.
That's cool.
but not an avatar. It's you. Yeah. As you move where I am.
It feels like I'm in the room. But you all need to be wearing the HoloLens glasses.
You will.
Yes.
But I'm sure they'll get around that. Yeah. Eventually, there'll be like a pane of glass you could put that would mimic it.
Yeah.
But think about things like this. Take the uber wealthy. I'd like a private, a night with John Legend at my house. He could don the system. All of the guests wear HoloLenses in my house, and John Legend is sitting in our lounge singing for us.
You just happen to hire a grand piano for the night, and you just stick it in. It's not actually doing, but the speakers are
coming.
That's
what I'm saying.
That's amazing.
So it's definitely something to watch, but I mean, take it back to its business.
But that's about experience again.
It is about experience. But we talked about the boom that will get you from London to New York, or hopefully doesn't go boom. How was that for a name, by the way? I thought about that after the show. I was like, boom? Really? Anyway. But
he's probably had a better name. It was just written on a Samsung Note 7 and it exploded and he forgot what it was.
That's a good idea. But basically, you could now have a business meeting where your demeanor, your body language, because that's the most important thing about face-to-face, is you need to see the person you're talking to. Yes, you can on Skype, but you can't see if their feet are moving, if they're fidgety, or you know what I mean? You just see this face because they show you what they want to. So, well done, Microsoft. Oof, that came out of my mouth. But
no, that's good.
Yeah, no, I'm the first person to give credit where it's due. I'm sure I'll be slating them again soon for something else. But for now, holoportation, and that's going to become a verb. You know, like you Google it, let's Skype. Why don't we just holoport? You know, so it's kind of, and I'm sure that tech's going to be ready for next year because HoloLens has been in the making for a long time. Yeah. They've got to launch now.
But HoloLens is doing some great service with mixed reality as well, so augmented reality with the HoloLens. There's great new stuff coming up, and stuff that was introduced at CES last year or this year. Garmin are doing some good stuff in that space, especially for bikers and people, drivers even. You can see your speedos and heads-up display in your glasses. So there's a lot of great tech coming in that space. It hasn't quite become readily available now, but we're still talking about things that were launched at the beginning of the year at CES 2016.
Well, that's what I was getting to. Is we did talk about this at the beginning of the year, and it's actually happening.
And we're a month now away from CES 2017. Yeah. So, just some quick things that I liked: the Ehang 184 human-sized drone with an ejector seat to help you get our chop chop. But that was a great idea.
It was a great idea.
It is still a great idea. We just need to see how viable it is, so that you don't like decapitate tourists or pedestrians as you come into park.
Unfortunately, though, that's going to sit forever until Civil Aviation Authority.
Yeah, yeah.
Until they actually sign off, you know, on drones and where drones fit or maybe don't fit.
Yeah.
We're kind of a little bit stuffed, which is unfortunate because I understand it's for the good of us and our safety and all those wonderful things, but it stifles. Mm. What could be cool? I'd rather be reading an article about the oak who got into his little hang and crashed. He tried. The Wright brothers tried. You know what I mean? They didn't
rather
go well.
Rather try and fail than to fail to try.
Yeah, I dig that. Well, that was all. Well, we actually at that part of the show where we are going
to
put you on the spot.
We just have to shut up now.
And give you, you know, you have to give us the philosophy. But Brett, this is going to be your last show for the year. I know you'll listen to the podcast because you're good like that.
Yeah.
I'm actually still.
Disagree with you in one of the shows, I might phone in and be
you
like,
"You can
what's
do that
happening?
With pleasure, my bud." But I've got guys.
I encourage you all out there to do that.
You're going to miss another Brett threesome because Brett St. Clair is hopefully coming on 21st.
Jeez, bummer! You got to time this better, bro.
Yeah. Well, I try to get him on before that, but he's busy. It's actually some people still work at this time of the year. Dude, we're getting the finger.
All right.
So I'll.
That's rude.
she's laughing at me.
Is it it's got a mistletoe on it or something
finger?
Festive? So
come
we
on,
can
show
get
us
a nice
again.
Christmas
show us
festive
finger.
Finger.
It's not. It's the index
finger. Oh, it's the
finger.
Big finger.
Okay, cool. So that's our sign to wrap up. Buddy.
Yeah, it's been a great year.
I was going to say thought fun. For the week, but actually thought for the year. So let's.
No, it's been fun. I think there's been a lot of promises that haven't lived up to reality, and there's been a lot of things that we didn't even see coming into being. And I think the future is always the most exciting space to live. I think if you're always dwelling in the past, you're always going to be moaning about it, saying, I wish it could change, I wish it would do something. And if you did, there's no such thing as a present because it's either...
It's gone.
It's the past.
It's
now.
Gone.
It's past.
It's gone.
It's past.
We did that last week.
So you've got two choices. You can live in the past and you can dwell in misery and never change anything ever, or you can enhance the amazing future that is in front of us and live in an age of experience that is coming.
And there it is, 2017.
So I'm calling it now, the age of experience.
Fantastic. I probably won't get to speak to you. Well, I'll speak to you off air, but we won't be on air again till then. So have a great one.
And thanks, yeah.
Thanks for everything.
Keep safe, everybody.
Fantastic. And until next time, keep your screens clean and your knobs shiny. CliffCentral.com.